Well, I don't know what your childhood is like or your parenting is like, but I end up sitting on both sides of this aisle. As a kid, I was pretty hard on my parents. About 16 years old, I discovered that I knew everything about everything. I also discovered that my parents were idiots. That's about the time I figured all of that out. I realized that my parents were a lot dumber than they led on to be, and I had everything figured out, and my parents were just standing in the way of my future progress. I became a very disobedient, a disrespectful, and a defiant child. I think, honestly, if I look at those years of my life, I created a wake of suffering for my parents. I have no idea how they persevered through it. Some of you here today might say, well, Pastor Doug, seems like you turned out okay, and that may be true in some sense, but it was a dangerous road getting here. And I had good parents. I had good parents that showed me patience and never gave up on me. But today I sit on the other side of that aisle. I'm the parent. And though I have had great examples in my years growing up, I'm pretty bad at this gig. I'll give you a few examples. These are not my prouder moments. Our first child was born. I can remember driving around in my vehicle and having my child strapped in the car seat, tucked nice and tight in there so that no damage would happen. And one day after coming home, about 20 minutes after being home, my wife called because she wasn't there. And she wanted to make sure everything was okay with me and my son. And it was at that moment I realized he was still in the car. You laugh, but I could have killed him. I mean, the weather was nice. It was in the garage. It was cool. I went out there. He was still sound asleep. But my wife's going to be in second service today. She still doesn't know that story. Yeah, cat's out of the bag on that one. One of my children wouldn't clean their room. Ever had that problem? I asked again and again and again. This particular child of mine had about 14,000 stuffed animals and dolls. And the rule was is they had to be on the bed. Okay. Now, granted, this meant that the bed had to look like a tower of creatures. But that was the deal. And again and again and again and again, the stuffed animals did not make it where they needed to be. And so I had a brilliant parenting idea. I went into the room, I selected one of the stuffed animals, and I went out to my garbage can out front, and I threw it in. And I said, every time these aren't cleaned up, I'm going to select one and throw it away. Now, you might not realize it, but children believe that those are real living creatures. And she was horrified. Now, a good parent would realize their mistake and go retrieve the animal from the trash can. I did not. Trash man came, collected the garbage, and dumped this poor stuffed animal into the landfill. Yes. My child will get through that in therapy in later years. If there was a license for parenting, mine would have been revoked. I'm telling you, I have not done well. There are moments maybe where I get something right, but I find I get it wrong more than I get it right. As a parent, I need a lot of grace from my kids. And I really wish I had that perspective back when I was a kid. I didn't give my parents any grace at all as a kid. I was hard on them. I made their lives difficult. And I did the best I could to take away the joy that they should have received from their labors of parenting in my later teen years. Now, as a teenager, I was not interested in advice from old people. Okay? I just wasn't. I didn't care what an old person had to tell me, because I believed that their advice was either tainted or certainly out of touch. But today the tables are turned on me. I get to be the old person today, to give advice to the younger ones who may this morning just decide to ignore me. There's a thing or two I've learned about being a kid. I have learned that I am always a kid, no matter how old I am, when it comes to my parents. I am always my parents' kid. Doesn't matter how old they are, and it doesn't even matter if they were still around. I would still be their kid. I've also discovered that I am accountable and I am responsible for the way I treat my parents. And I've discovered that the way I treat my parents also impacts my life. These are things I wish I would have known back then, or wish I would have paid attention to, or advice I would have taken. If there's one thing that we all have in common throughout the world, regardless of culture, regardless of generation, it's that we all have parents. That is one thing we have in common. It is true that our experience with those parents may be very different, maybe drastically different, but we still have parents. That's what we have in common. Some have a very traditional family, and others not so much. For some, the word parent isn't used for the one who fathered or gave birth to you, but it is reserved for the one who loved you and raised you. But nonetheless, we all have parents. And we all need to learn the exact same things about being a kid, no matter how old of kids we are. So I'm going to encourage you this morning to open up your Bibles to the book of Exodus. It's the second book in the Old Testament. We're going to look at Exodus chapter 20. And in chapter 20, you're going to see that we have a list of the Ten Commandments. This is the chapter where the Ten Commandments are listed there. You know those, thou shalt nots. The first four of the Ten Commandments have to do with our relationship with God, having no other gods, not worshiping idols, don't use the Lord's name in vain, keep the Sabbath holy. And then when we get to the fifth commandment in verse 12, you'll see that we're going to shift from our relationship with God to our relationship with others. And the rest of the commandments have to do with our relationship with other people, which, of course, that's what this series has been about, is our relationships. It's the first one listed in our relationship with others, and it's the one we're going to focus on today. It says this, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land your Lord God is giving you. Now, before I make some comments on this commandment, I want us to realize the significance of it. This is one of the Ten Commandments. This is not just a suggestion or a good idea. God finds this so important that he puts it as a part of the Big Ten. And it's the very first one about our relationship with others. And that should at least heighten it or move it to a place where we pay attention to it. So kids today, no matter how old you are, listen to this commandment today. It might be something we need to learn. We are commanded to honor our parents. Now, the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, which was written some 3,000 plus years ago, it was written in a language not being English. It was written in a language called Hebrew. And it's an ancient form of Hebrew. And what they do is they take these old manuscripts written in this ancient language of Hebrew, and they translate them into other languages so that we're able to read them. And when it comes to English, they look at this word in Hebrew for honor. And the word for honor is kabid. That's the English word honor that we have chosen for the ancient Hebrew word kabid. Now, the way that we determine what the correct definition or the correct English word is for that ancient Hebrew word is they look at how it's used in context. And from the context, they can determine what the best English word is. So they look at context within the book of Exodus. They look at context throughout the rest of Scripture. They even look at context in extra-biblical literature that's of that time period to see how this word is used. And we discover this word is used in ways that mean more than maybe what we first think honor is. Because it means reverence, but it also means support. So we are to have reverence, and we are to support our parents. That's the full definition of kabid. I think the word honor covers both of these ideas, but it obviously doesn't specifically spell it out. In the ancient text where kabid is used, it's used to correct certain behaviors about a parent. It's used to correct behavior for those that cause physical harm to their parents. That you are to honor instead of physical harm. You are to honor instead of, the next one that's listed is cursing. After that, it talks about neglect. And we see it used also in things like an improper burial of a parent. That honor is the opposite of those things. Physical harm, cursing, neglect, improper burial. It's to revere, and it's also to support or care for. And this is how we're supposed to understand the meaning behind this command. We are to honor our parents. Now, we may have parents that fall very short of our expectations, and many do. I certainly do. But nonetheless, we are called to honor them. The role of a parent is an office in our life. And when I use the word office, I don't mean my office is over there. I mean the role, the position, the place of a parent in our life. It's an office. For example, there's the office of the presidency. Now, we're in the middle of election season, and things are really ramping up. And as I look at the news and I look at all the coverage of the political spectrum right now, it really seems like our country is at a crossroads. We're really trying to decide who we want to be or what we want to become, and ultimately who's going to lead us there. And it seems like the president seems to be the central focus, that there's never been such a wide gap between policies and ideas and ideas on how the country's going to go. And so this election is a polarizing election in some ways. But when it comes to the election, the focus is on the president, who it's going to be, the current president, or will a new president come in? The office of president is an important office in our country. Now, you may be happy with who we have, and if that president remains, you may be pleased. Or if another president gets elected in, you may be pleased with that. But no matter who is the president, the office of president still demands and deserves respect. No matter who is in that position, it is a position that deserves respect. Whether you like the president or not, if you are in his presence, if you were in your right mind of respect, you would show respect. Ronald Reagan, a very revered president, I think. Many people have honored him and his service and what he accomplished for our country. Ronald Reagan felt so impressed by the office of the presidency that he would not step foot into the Oval Office without a dress shirt, tie, and coat. There have been other presidents that will go in any kind of dress, but Ronald Reagan thought, this position is so important. The office of the presidency is at such a level that I'm going to show it the utmost respect. And he was the president, but he showed respect to the office of presidency while even being the president. He required everyone that came into the Oval Office to be dressed appropriately for the importance of the office of the presidency. The office of a parent is an office we are to respect. The person in the office does not have to earn the respect. It's the office that we respect because it's the office that we're called to honor. We honor our parents not because they've earned it. We honor them because of the office they hold in our lives. Your parents are your parents. And no one else holds that office with you. Nobody else will honor them either, because nobody else is commanded to. It is the job of the child to honor the parent. We are commanded to do so. So let's look a little bit at what this honoring looks like. Now, if you have a beaver cleaver kind of home environment, count your blessings. For most people, it's a mixed bag. There's a lot of relational challenges between parents and children. But in either case, whether it was perfect or whether it's got its flaws, we are still called and need to honor our parents. This exists whether you are still in the home or you're out of the home. This exists Whether you have children of your own, this exists whether your parents are still alive or not. We are still called to honor our parents at all points in our life, not just in the home or in their presence. This is how we do it. The first thing we need to do is we need to get control of the thoughts that are in our mind. Everything starts in the mind. The way you treat others or you're planning to treat another person can't be left for an off-the-cuff expression at the moment. If you do that, there's a good chance that you won't respond the way that you need to. The mind is the thoughts of the heart. The mind is the thoughts of the heart. As we work on the thoughts and how we think about people, and we think about our response to them and our responsibility to them and on the commands of how we're to respond to them, as we work on the thoughts, the heart is shaped. To honor your parents will require you to make a choice ahead of time to do so. Preparation in the mind will help you with your words and your actions. When a moment of conflict comes, it may be too late to decide if you're going to honor your parents in that moment. But to decide ahead of time ensures that at least there is a chance that you will be able to follow this command. Thoughts is the first thing. Once the thoughts are organized, then you need to work on the things that come out of your mouth, the words that you use. Out of your mouth will come the condition of your heart. No one can make you angry. Did you know that? Anger is something that's already in you. You just decide when to let it out. But no one can make you angry. It's your choice how you respond. With your mouth, you can build up or you can tear down. It's your choice how you speak to your parents, and it is your choice how you speak about your parents. Respecting the office of a parent does not always mean agreeing with them, believe me. You can disagree. You can disagree passionately with them. But disagreeing doesn't mean tearing them down or talking down to them. Or slandering them to others. You can disagree with your parents, but you need to disagree with honor. The thoughts, the words, and then the actions. Once you have the mind in check, once you have the words in check, you then get to live it out through your actions. To live this out, honoring your parents, it means to help when they need help and support them when they need support. As our parents get older, this action begins to step up in the lives of a child. Your parent may need nursing care or more visits from you or help with maintenance or daily tasks. But to honor them means to not begrudge these things. Because the example that you set will impact your future, especially with your children as they watch how you interact with your parents. The thoughts, the words, and the actions. Now, the command to honor is for all people who have parents. But there is another requirement that is specific for what I'm going to differentiate as children. Okay? So I'm saying you're all kids. You're always your parents' kids. But when it comes to children, there's a little bit added on to this. Because it's not just honor. But what's the other thing children are supposed to do? Obey. Oh, now when I was a kid, that was the word I did not like. Obedience I did not like. Now I'm going to tell you who a child is. A child is any child who still lives at home, who is financially supported by a parent, including a college kid who lives in a dorm. It's anyone who is still under the roof, financially or physically, of the parent. This is the command, Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. As your children get older, they will want to challenge the office of parent. They become increasingly independent. This is a good thing. I mean, they need to become independent because eventually they're going to have to live on their own. At least that's the hope of all parents, that they eventually will move out. But sometimes defiance and disobedience follow in this wake of independence. Children are required to obey their parents. Not because the parent says so. Isn't that always the question of a child? Why? And a parent's non-committal response is, because I said so. I tell you what, kids, you don't have to obey mom and dad because they said so. God requires it of you. And this instruction isn't just for Christian parents, but it's for all parents, whether your parents are Christians or not. Now, obviously, you're not supposed to obey your parent if your parents ask you to do something that's against God's law. But inside the things that fit under that umbrella, when a parent asks something of a child is to do that thing. Children are to obey their parents. The purpose of obedience, kids, there's a few different reasons. First of all, it keeps you safe from injury, both physically and emotionally. Obey your parents to keep yourself safe. If you obey your parents, you also will prepare you for good decision-making when you're on your own. It's the obedience that reminds us and teaches us correct behavior, because eventually you won't have someone looking out for you. You won't have someone saying, don't walk there, don't do that, don't be a part of that. You have to learn those things now through obedience so that when you're on your own, you can make those decisions for yourself. It also will help you in your parenting in the future, because these are things that you're going to fall back on. Because kids, whether you know it or not, there's a good chance that many of you are going to become parents. And all of a sudden, you're going to have a little one that you're responsible for, and you're going to have no clue how to do it. And you're going to lean on the things that you learned as a kid. Obedience helps you learn those things. Now, whether this is important to you or not, kids, if you're obedient to your parents, you make parenting a greater joy for your parents. It also creates a more joyous and harmonious home where love easily flows and can be seen. But most importantly, kids, as you obey your parents, you are honoring God. Becoming an adult is not an easy job. But obedience is the quickest way, I think, to get to becoming an adult capable of using the independence that you will have. I know it's not easy to be obedient. It seems like you'll never be out from under the rule of your parents, but trust me, you will. It will happen. And your obedience to your parents is just a very small portion of your life, but will have a great impact on your future, your longevity, and the blessings of your future. Kids, I want you to know that if you obey your parents, God gives you a promise. Look at the rest of Ephesians 6, 1, and then look at verse 2 and 3 as well. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. Today, I want you to commit yourself to this commandment, to honor your parents, all of us, to honor our parents. And if you're still at home, obey them. I think we need a few little steps on how to do this. I think the most important one first is forgiveness. If you're a child, your parent has probably done something along the way that is going to need your forgiveness. Forgive your parents for the hurt that they have done, what they have caused, either purposely or inadvertently. Forgiveness is the key to healing any relationship. We can forgive our parents even if they're not around anymore. And remember that forgiving, true forgiveness, is giving up the right to use that offense against the person again. None of us here deserve forgiveness. But God forgives freely to anyone who will receive it. And he asks us to do the same for each other. Kids of all ages, forgive your parents. Next, build them up. Build your parents up to them. Build them up to others. Celebrate where your parents did a good job. I know some of you here today are saying, well, hey, Pastor Doug, that's going to be tough. Celebrate the things they tried to do right. Every life has some good in it. Look for the best and resist the temptation to dwell and define your parents on the mistakes and poor choices that they made. Next, give them grace. Remember that your parents are just people. They're not supernatural. They're not superhuman. They're not the example of perfect parenting. They are flawed. They are imperfect. And they're in need of God's grace just as much as you are and I am. Not every parent can remain on the pedestal that their children want to put them on. And some parents fall harder than others. But give them grace, and in return, God says he will give you grace. And lastly, be thankful. Say thank you to your parents. Thank them for how they provided for you. Thank your parents for how they created opportunity for you. Thank them for the training that they did provide you. And realize that no matter what, your parents have some influence in the good that's happening in your life. It's easy to blame. It's harder to thank. And if nothing else, remember this. Your parents didn't choose abortion. They chose life. And in doing so, they gave you opportunity. That's enough to say thanks for. Every one of us are called to honor our parents. What can you do to honor them today? Is there a conversation you need to have, a phone call you need to make, a letter you need to write? Is there something you need to let go of and forgive? Are your parents in desperate need of hearing you say that you forgive them? Maybe your parents still aren't in a good place. How can you honor them? How can you be an example of Jesus' love to them? How can you be a witness to them? It's a call for all people to honor their parents because it pleases the Lord. And it's one of his commands that he gives us in our relationships with others. I encourage you to consider it today. As we close, we're going to take an offering. I'm going to invite the ushers forward. And after the prayer time, we'll take an offering. I've got a video that I want to show you, too, about honoring parents and maybe some of the challenges that happen along the way. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love for us. And as our Heavenly Father, you are the best example of what a parent is. Lord, all of our parents have fallen short of that example, and for those of us that are parents, we're well aware of our failures as well. But Lord, help us to realize that we're all children, and that each one of us have a responsibility to honor those that have been put in that office of parent in our lives. We would give them the respect that you ask us to give them, that you would help us to love them through their faults and their failures and their shortcomings. That we wouldn't put them on a pedestal that keeps us from being able to honor them. Lord, help us to forgive where forgiveness is needed. Help us to be gracious as you have forgiven and been gracious to us. May we be a reflection of your love and your grace, not just to the world around us, not just to those who we want to be gracious to, but Lord, even those that sometimes are the hardest and Lord, sometimes the deep hurt or the difficulties of relationship with parents makes that very difficult. We ask that your Spirit would guide us to be more like you, we would reflect your love. We would be a reflection of your grace. Lord, as we get ready to take an offering now, may you use these funds to draw people close to who you are. May they experience and see your love through this very tangible gift. For Lord, we don't give for ourselves. We don't give to be noticed, but we give to you today so that you may use these resources as you see fit. We love you. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I would say to live authentically in the Christian life is to live biblically. And in that, it is very obvious when I pick up my Bible, even as a 33-year-old man, that I am to live a life that honors my mother and my father. I am to live a life that honors them, not just because they're my parents, but because they're valuable to God. And also that I have an obligation to be a witness of consistency and authenticity to them. Also, I'm supposed to submit to them. The Bible is very clear about issues like that. Where it gets really muddy, though, is that most people don't live in this leave it to beaver family where mom and dad are just these perfect images of parenthood. They live in these broken homes. And for a young teenager today in America to decide, I am going to live wholehearted for God, he or she is probably going to contradict some of his parents' lifestyle, even some of the church member parents' lifestyles. And so in there's just going to have to be a balancing act of walking in obedience to our mother and our father and walking in honor towards them, but yet greater than our mother and our father, loving the commandments of God and living consistently there. And so when I was 18 years old and I became a believer, my parents were Muslims. And they hit the roof. I mean, they did not want me to become a Christian. They did not want me to live for Christ. And it came to a collision the night I went to get baptized. I'll never forget my mom dragging me dragging my mom on the floor. She was just begging, please don't go get baptized. Please don't go get baptized. You're going to embarrass us as a family. And my dad came downstairs and he looked at me and he said, we've had enough. You've been this Christian for a couple of months now and you're telling everyone about Jesus. This is just embarrassing to us. He goes, stop being a Christian. And I laughed and I said, how do I stop being a Christian? I can't stop God. It's not like a cold that I caught and it goes away. It's not like a pill that I take and it wears off. It's a new identity. And my dad said, you're not going to go get baptized. And I turned around and I left the house and I went and got baptized that night. Now, that might sound like a really big, like, good for you. You served your heavenly father more than your earthly father moment. And I think at that moment of my life, it did. But I look back on it now as a 30-year-old. And as I look back on it, I think, at that moment, I was more about exercising my rights as a Christian than I was about realizing that me not getting baptized tonight is not a good thing. But yet, the greater bad would be for me to dishonor my mom and my dad here. And this has severed, me going is going to sever, the relationship that I have with them, and is going to harm the witness that I have for them, and that I need to fall and submit. And so I think most teenagers don't obey their parents, not because they're loving God more, but because they're loving themselves more. And sometimes it's even for God's stuff, but it's for God's stuff that benefits them more. That's what it was for me. I was more about exercising my rights than I was about realizing I can stay here at this house and be a missionary. I went and got baptized, I came home, and my dad had my bags packed and kicked me out of the house for becoming a believer. I mean, I would say for becoming a believer, but it's really about becoming disobedient to him. And I think the opportunity is there for a teenager who is in a non-Christian home to so wash the feet of his or her parents to where his or her parents say, what is wrong with you? You know, I'm being inconsistent as a parent. They're never going to say those words. You know, why are you so nice to me? Why are you washing the dishes? Why are you cutting the grass? Why is it that I told you last minute you can't go on that date? And yet you didn't really do anything wrong and you still, you know, smiled and walked away and said, okay, what is wrong with you? And at that moment, that teenager can say, Jesus is wrong with me. I think, you know, there's the opportunities there to say, in this relationship, I need to submit and honor my mother and my father because the Bible tells me so. Because I do it, if I do it as long as they're great parents, then every time they're not great parents, I have an out. Because of the commands of God and because that's the authentic Christian life. If I live that way, and that's not going to stop, by the way, when I'm out of the house. I'm 33 and I need to continue to honor my mother and my father.
Well, that's the encouragement to honor mom and dad today, however that might look for you and your situation and the dynamics of your family. Next week, we're going to be looking at our relationships with those that we love, those that we're close to, and what Scripture might have to say about how we're to interact and care for and be involved in those relationships. God bless you as you go from here today. You are dismissed.